and thank you so much for joining me on the show today. This is The Diabetes Show on UK Health Radio, your global, real, feel-good radio station. My name is Peter Alton of Undefeated, and I'm your host for today and the coming weeks. Hello and welcome once again to The Diabetes Show here on UK Health Radio, your real feel-good radio station. I hope you have had an amazing week. I hope you've been diligent with your New Year's resolutions. We are now with this show going out on the 13th of January. Where has that first half of January gone to? I don't know about you, but it is flying past, and they say that time flies when you're enjoying yourself, which I think many of us would debate that with the lockdown restrictions that we've got at the moment over here in England, in the UK, and in many other countries around the world, of course, as well. So anyway, I hope that wherever you are, that you are enjoying life, that time is flying for you, and that you're keeping safe and keeping well, particularly because COVID and diabetes do not mix together very well. Now, we've got quite a bit to get through in this show today. We're going to have a little bit of the recent news, what's been in the news since the beginning of the year, because I didn't put anything in last week. A little bit of time to confess from my own standpoint of how my new year has been so far. And then we're going to have a little bit of a look at, well, if you do fail in your New Year's resolutions, or if you have failed already in your New Year's resolutions, then some ways that you might choose to look at it and get some encouragement to push on and move on. We also have an interview with Dr. Rupi Ojila, and he is the BBC Good Food Chef. So that will be an interesting interview there on some healthy eating tips from Dr. Rupi. Let's start out, as I suggested, with some of the news items that are around at the moment in the news pertaining to diabetes. And the first one I want to draw your attention to is actually from over in the States. It's from abc7.com, Eyewitness News. And the article there is in health and fitness, and it talks about the pandemic adding extra challenges for those with diabetes. And one of the terms that we have come used to in the pandemic has been how comorbidities can cause some problems. It's these pre-existing comorbidities, other conditions, which then make you more likely to be sick or even to die from COVID-19. And one of those most commonly is diabetes, unfortunately, because when you have high blood sugars, so diabetes out of control, or even pre-diabetes for that matter, high blood sugars, people who develop COVID do get worse outcomes. That's the main reason I've been trying to sort my own sugar levels out recently. Yes, there's the other reasons as well, all the long-term complications that can happen. But it's so important at the moment to try to control your blood sugars as best you can, more than ever, to be in that diabetes sweet spot that I so often talk about. So please do attempt to do that. And as we go through some of these articles today, you will find that there are some actually which might point you to doing things that might be able to help you. And even the interview with Dr. Rupi as well, some of the things that he suggests will also help you in your bid to try and reduce your blood sugar levels, try and reduce your HbA1c, try to help you to get in that diabetes sweet spot. So that's the first article there from abc7.com. The next one I'm going to share is actually also from the States as well. It is from an organization website called STAT, or I suppose statnews.com. And this was an article which was published actually, as I record this, is today, January the 11th, saying people with type 1 diabetes have a higher risk of dying from COVID-19. Why are they lower on the CDC's vaccine priority list. CDC, of course, in America stands for Center for Disease Control and Prevention. Now, I'm going to read this through a little bit because my daughter has type 1 diabetes and I think it is quite important because I've actually been of the belief or of the understanding, probably is a better term, that people with type 1 were not as at much risk as people with type 2 of the whole complications regarding COVID. But apparently, according to this article, in the States, it has been shown that actually type 1 is at least just as risky. Let's just go through this. So there's a lady, Laura Werner, has diligently managed her type 1 diabetes since she was diagnosed at age 11. She remained vigilant about anything that might throw her blood sugar levels out of balance. And now at 36, she has had two healthy pregnancies and avoided such severe complications of diabetes as limb neuropathy or eye disease. So she's had it, 25 years that is. And a lot of people who have had diabetes for 25 years will have developed some complications, whether they've had type 1 or type 2 for that length of period of time. It's the high blood sugars over a period of time that causes the damage. So if they are... If she has been good, as she says she has, and tried to manage things, then you know she is in a good position at this point. However, very, very easily things can tip the balance in your control of diabetes, particularly when you've got type 1. Goes on to say that she knows what she needs to do to maintain her health, but what she doesn't know is why the nation's leading public health authority, CDC, places people like her farther down the priority list for receiving COVID-19 vaccinations than people with type 2 diabetes. As written now, the guidelines put her in line with the rest of the US population under 65, despite research showing that people with type 1 diabetes are at just as high a risk of dying from COVID-19 as those with type 2, if not higher. She goes on to say, I don't feel like I'm an apple-to-apples comparison with another healthy 36-year-old, because another 36-year-old, if they get a stomach virus, doesn't wind them up in ER, A&E over here, of course, but for me, for her, it always has. And that's the situation. If you get an infection with type 1, and to a degree with type 2 as well, it is likely to throw your sugar levels out. And we know that when your sugar levels are high, when they're out of control, that's when this virus can really get a grip and cause problems. So it's really important. And she goes on to say that there's a very intricate balance. There's thousands of decisions made in a day by somebody with type 1 diabetes that can either kill them or keep them healthy. Apparently, the CDC's decision to put people with type 1 in that lower risk tier than people with type 2 differs from that with the UK, where they include both type 1 and type 2 diabetes in its lists of conditions that pose higher risk after a COVID-19 infection. Actually, just reading further on, a Lancet Diabetes and Endocrinology study published in August highlighted that the risk of someone dying from COVID-19 was almost three times higher for people with type 1 diabetes. This is over in England. And almost twice as high for type 2 than for those without diabetes. In Scotland, another study by the Lancet said that being admitted to a critical care hospital unit or dying was more than twice as likely for type 1 diabetes patients and nearly 1.5 times more likely for type 2 diabetes patients. So what can we learn from this? Well, we can learn that, hey, the sooner we can get this vaccine, the better. Maybe we do need a campaign to be able to get it earlier. Maybe we need to do our own bit to chase up our doctors and just double check where we are on that list. Maybe if you haven't had an HbA1c done recently, maybe you need to go and get that done so you know. Remember, we always talk about this being in the diabetes sweet spot, knowing, testing and measuring, knowing what your levels are like. That will help you know what risk you're at, and hopefully it might motivate the doctors to actually bump you up the queue to get your vaccination done if your sugar levels are out of control. Of course, the best thing is to get them into control. I think it's really important that we do stress this, that, you know, the take home from this more than anything else is, yeah, the vaccination will come eventually. But in the meantime, do your best to control those blood sugars, okay? Listen on to what I'll be sharing a little bit later on, to what Dr. Rupi will be sharing, and go back and look at some of the other shows that we've had in the past and see what you can learn. And if you want to get in touch with me, then do. You can contact me via contact@undefeated.org. contact@undefeated.org, and that will get straight through to me, and I'll be able to just have a discussion with you, an email discussion with you, or possibly even we can even connect up and see if there's anything that we can do as an organization to help you. Let's have a look at a few more news items from diabetes.co.uk's website. You know that that's one of my favourites for finding good juicy articles. Well, this one is about their low-carb programme, so they're bound to want to rave about this one. But they've done so much good. They've helped so many people. The low-carb programme is actually, or has actually, launched a January boot camp for new and existing members. I think we're about a week into that now. I'm not sure exactly how it works, whether you can join it late. I suspect you probably can. But it's apparently a four-week boot camp, which provides new and existing members with tried and tested meal plans, live meetups, cook-alongs, and on-demand classes aimed at kickstarting healthy habits into January and beyond. So if you haven't looked into the low-carb program before, just think about it, okay? It's been selected as the category-leading app for type 2 diabetes self-management and remission in the Best Health Apps 2020. And some of the health outcomes from the low-carb program show that participants who complete the program reduce their body weight by a significant 7.4 kilograms at 1 year follow-up. And 26% of patients achieve type 2 diabetes remission at year one. It's been going for about 5 years now as well, so it is tried and tested. I strongly encourage you to go and have a look at diabetes.co.uk's website, check out the app, and get on that low-carb program. Sticking with their website, there is also a news item there, which again is about a week old, this one. Health Secretary here in the UK is worried about the South Africa COVID-19 strain. And apparently the strain, the mutated version known as 501.V2, appears to be even more contagious than the original coronavirus. And it's got some pretty substantial changes in the structure of the protein within it. South African researchers think that the strain is going to impact younger people more, and also they think it may be resistant to the vaccines that we've got. So goodness me, let's hope that that one doesn't get a grip. If you have come back from South Africa, I think it's all been banned now, all flights now, but but came in around the time that it was banned. If you have come in, then please do make sure you do self-isolate, because remember, you don't know if you've got it. Maybe you could be just carrying it and passing it on. And if you have made the mistake of coming back from South Africa and you have not been self-isolating, then do the best thing. Be honest. Go and tell the people that you know you've come into contact with, so that they can get a test maybe yourself, make sure that you haven't got the strain and haven't got it hidden without any symptoms and passing it on, and then others passing it on and others passing it on, and you know, just one person coming back could be a real it can be a nightmare for many, many families. And the final item, and in fact it's the only one actually on diabetes.co.uk's website for this week, and that is about the Clapping for Carers. Thursday's Clap for Carers, it was reinstated last Thursday on the 7th of January, and there's been quite a few medical people who are saying, don't do it, please just observe the rules and keep safe and make sure that you're not passing on this virus. So you can have a read there on diabetes.co.uk's website about what different people are saying about that. Well, let's have a song now, which is going to be a little bit different. You can't accuse me now of being just run-of-the-mill with all the songs that I play. This song is actually, it's a Walt Disney song. It's from a film called Hannah Montana. The artist is Miley Cyrus, who plays Hannah Montana in there. Not that I'm an expert on this, but I have got, a couple of daughters who have gone through teenage years during that film coming out, and also another daughter who is in her teenage years who likes it as well. So please forgive me. We're going to play the song called Hoedown Throwdown by Hannah Montana, Miley Cyrus. And I think as it starts, you'll know why we're playing it, or why I'm playing it, why you're listening to it, with the whole theme of clapping there. Hope you enjoy. And get those feet tapping.
Boom clap, boom de clap de clap, boom boom clap, boom de clap de clap, boom boom clap, boom de clap de clap, boom boom clap, boom de clap de clap. Try with me, here we go. Boom boom clap, boom de clap de clap, that's right. Boom de clap de clap, boom boom clap, boom de clap de clap. 1, 2, 3, everybody come on off your seats. I'm gonna tell you about a beat that's gonna make you move your feet. Give the barbecue show and tell you how to move. If you're 5 or 82, this is something you can do. Pop it, lock it, polka dot it, country five in it, pop it. Put your honk in the sky, move side to side, jump to the left, stick it, glide. Zigzag, cross the floor, shuffle in diagonal. When the drum hits, hands on your hips.
That was Miley Cyrus, of course, singing that song there from Hannah Montana, the musical, the Walt Disney musical. Hope you enjoyed it. You're listening to The Diabetes Show here on UK Health Radio. And we're going to go into an interview in a minute with Dr. Rupi, who I have shared already, is the BBC Good Food Chef. I hope you will pay attention to what he's saying. He's saying a lot of sensible things about the things that we should be eating. And hopefully that will be helpful. And then at the end of the session, I am going to share a little bit about my journey since since Christmas, really, what's been going on in my life. But you can't wait for that. Anyway, hopefully you will learn from it. It is me going to be vulnerable, That's got your ears pricking up, hasn't it? You're going to stay on now and listen. Anyway, hope you enjoy listening to this interview now with Dr. Rupi.
Great. It's great to have you on the Diabetes Show here on UK Health Radio. You're definitely more than qualified, being that you are a GP. But also you practice what you preach, or maybe it's better to say you preach what you practice, I think, because you had a particular health issue yourself, which you dealt with in a particular way, I believe.
Yeah. So my personal health journey started in 2009 when I was diagnosed with atrial fibrillation. It's essentially a heart condition where your heart beats exceptionally fast, and in my case, irregularly. It's quite unusual for then I was 24 years old, for someone to have it at that age with no pre-existing issues and no physical and anatomical issues with the heart. But that was the start of my own health journey when I had a number of investigations. I was put on a number of different medications and had electrophysiology studies. And changing my diet and lifestyle actually led to the reversal of my condition. Now, I'm not advocating that everyone just use food instead of medicine, but certainly food has a massive part to play in the management of multiple conditions, including type 2 diabetes, but across a range of different medical specialties as well.
Brilliant. Yeah. And I noticed you've got a couple of books. One came out last year. I haven't actually cast my eye over that one yet, but Eat to Beat Illness, which sounds like a fascinating title there. There's been a bit of research, I think, done recently, or a bit of a poll done recently on what Brits think about diets. And I'm going to be upfront with you and say that on this show that this is going to go out on, I actually have a company that does do diets, which I'm actually in the middle of doing myself right now.
Oh, yeah.
So we could be at odds. But on a serious note, I'm doing this diet to try and get my diabetes under control again, get it reversed, in remission, whatever term we want to use. But I'm really interested in about your approach to, I suppose it's lifestyle maintenance, really, of healthy living.
Absolutely. I'm really open-minded when it comes to dietary interventions, particularly those that have therapeutic value. So, I run a podcast, the Doctor's Kitchen podcast, where I just had a specialist dietitian talking about the therapeutic benefits of a ketogenic diet on refractory childhood epilepsy. I'm not adverse to diets per se when there's a clinical need for them. But I think a lot of people who perhaps don't have medical issues or are trying to use a number of different diets that are often quite fatty and don't have a lot of robust evidence behind them as a means to losing weight, that's where I have a little bit of an issue with diets. And actually, I think it's at odds to what most people might think when it comes to weight and weight loss for a GP to be talking about not going on a diet. But simply it's because I see the effect of diets across most people not having a positive effect. So in a lot of cases, people will jump from diet to diet in the hope that they have a quick fix. And there's nothing wrong with trying to lose weight, but it needs to be done in a sustainable way. And you know what? If a diet works for you, particularly somebody with type 2 diabetes, and you find it's accessible and it's easy and sustainable for you, then that's fantastic. But for a lot of people, diet yo-yoing is too common a feature in their lives, and that actually leads to a lot of shame and guilt and pressures that actually are at the cost of mental health and general well-being rather than at the advantage of it.
I'm just looking at your site here, and there's so many different things that eating healthily can help with. And I'm looking at, you've got brain health, cancer, diabetes, eye health, gastrointestinal, heart health, immunity, inflammation, lifestyle, mental health, nutrition, skin, ultimate health, weight, and women's health. Pretty much everything, I guess, can be affected by what we put into our bodies. Yeah.
Absolutely. And that was the impetus to write my second book, Eat to Beat Illness. It's really trying to explore how nutrition and what we eat can have an impact across a multitude of different conditions, not as a sole treatment, but certainly as something that is complementary. The advent of nutritional medicine isn't there to replace any therapies. It's really there to complement everything that we do, and I still do as a medical practitioner. The podcast is a great way of exploring different ideas about food and medicine, and why people sort of struggle with what to eat, and also maintain a healthy way of eating. Because there's no point me suggesting a restrictive diet if somebody can't maintain it for more than 2 weeks at a time. And that's what the research that was commissioned by Second Nature actually demonstrates. Most people know that diets aren't sustainable. So it really comes down to a way of eating and living that works for you as an individual.
Absolutely. That's where, you know, I've got a personal interest here myself, and maybe you can advise me, and I'm sure that will fit into many of the listeners as well. Because high blood sugars have got major issues with regards to the whole COVID thing. Strict diet at the moment. I've lost about 10 kilos so far, and blood sugars are really doing well. But I have done that before, back in 2016, and I thought I lived with a pretty healthy diet. I don't eat that many carbs, and I'm pretty good. Maybe quantity is an issue. But what would you advise from the point of view of managing a diet afterwards? Because you hear all sorts of things. You hear things that, you know, certain fats are bad for you. Bearing in mind that, you know, my diet is supposed to be burning off the fat around my liver and pancreas to get things working properly again. Is it the carbs? Is it the... What would you advise to somebody like me?
I think it definitely comes down to the individual and what is sustainable for you. So first of all, that's fantastic that you're controlling your sugar levels and you're managing to lose weight in a way that's sustainable for you and one that fits in with your lifestyle, because that's the most important thing.
Well, a lot of people, at the moment it's not sustainable. At the moment it is a quick blast to get rid of the weight, and that's what I, you know, it's going forward is where I want it to be sustainable and maintain it.
Exactly. And that's the crux of the situation, I think, because a lot of people will look at a diet as a short-term fix. However, if you look at what you eat on a day-to-day basis, it's something that you A, enjoy, and B, feel that you're able to sustain over a long period of time, then that's really what you want to be looking at. And, you know, inspiration for where to start, we put a website, stopfaddiets.com, where we put 55 different small sustainable habit changes that you can start from today or January, whenever you want to start it, that are small enough for it to become a daily habit and big enough in terms of the impact that after a long period of time, after cumulative effects of it, after practicing that daily habit over months and years, you know, does have a demonstrable impact on healthy lifestyles and overall well-being. So someone like yourself, you know, in terms of maintaining your current successes, is looking at what's worked for you and focusing on things that you can maintain on a daily basis. So that could be making sure that you're getting two or three portions of fruits and vegetables every mealtime, making sure that you're enjoying the types of carbohydrates that you feel are best for your blood sugars, and also ones that you enjoy cooking and are accessible for you to cook as well. And I always boil this down for most people into principles of healthy living, and that is quality fats in the way of nuts, seeds, and cold pressed oils, because we know that poor quality fats from fried foods, from homogenized fats, from fats that have been taken to a high temperature that become rancid and actually pro-inflammatory, those are universally bad for us. And those are unfortunately contained in lots of processed and convenience products. The other thing I think is very, very important is fiber. And you get fiber from a variety of different plants, because there are hundreds of different subtypes of fibers that feed your microbiota. But you also get it from things like nuts, seeds, beans, and legumes. That can be absolutely fantastic for type 2 diabetes as well. But it really does come down to the individual, I find.
Okay. So, because I love nuts. I suspect I possibly eat too many. And you're going to be likely to put weight on from that sort of thing. It's the calories in, yeah? Calories in against calories burn. Does that mean... Yeah. That could end up to fat coming up, building up around my pancreas and my liver again?
Well, it's interesting that, because I think we've been wedded to this idea of foods and their calorie content being the crux of what leads to weight gain and weight loss. Whereas in reality, the humble nut, for example, contains not just fats, but fiber and proteins and a whole bunch of other micronutrients that are very, very healthy for us. They actually increase your satiety, maintain satiety, so you actually become fuller quicker and you'll consume less. So that could actually lead to you consuming less overall energy. But also, just because of the fat content, which leads it to have a high calorie content, doesn't necessarily mean that you're going to be absorbing all of those calories from the fats. So because of the fiber, you're actually going to be passing through a lot of the energy out in your store, and it's not going to be digested, which will lead to an increased energy intake. So actually, nuts and seeds in moderation, obviously, I'm not talking about a tub of peanut butter every single day, but you know, in moderation, they can be part of a very healthy lifestyle. That actually is at the it can actually be advantageous to our well-being rather than at the expense of it.
Okay, cool. That's giving me the thumbs up on my nuts anyway. That's good.
Yeah.
Do you know, like cinnamon, things like that? Are they good? Are you here? They are.
Yeah, cinnamon. I know people have probably read some studies on cinnamon having an anti-glycemic effect, similar to metformin postprandially, so after eating. And whilst I welcome anything that can modulate blood sugar, I wouldn't use cinnamon like a pill. And that there are certain types of cinnamon that demonstrate the effect, where others didn't. So, cinnamon, turmeric, but also tarragon, herbs and spices that are typically used in culinary recipes in the UK, things like thyme and basil. These are universally fantastic for health. They're concentrated sources of plant chemicals that we know have an anti-inflammatory effect, and actually can obviously heighten the flavor of food, but also the function of food. And they're also concentrated sources of the typical micronutrients that you get in a diet. So more spices and more flavor, the better, I find. But I would hasten to add that, you know, using nutraceuticals as a pill is perhaps not the best primary strategy. The best strategy is to look at your overall diet rather than supplementation.
Yeah, absolutely. And I think your website is brilliant, by the way. And I would love for you just to be able to share a little bit about that, because you've got a fantastic podcast on there. People can enroll and get handle their email and get a recipes each week or something like that. Can you just share about your website and what you do there?
Sure. Yeah, absolutely, Peter. So my website is thedoctorskitchen.com. The newsletter that you're referring to is where we give recipes every single week that fit that criteria of increasing fruit and vegetable consumption, which is really what I'm obsessed with. And the book that's coming out from The Doctor's Kitchen is going to be called 3-2-1, and it's out in December, and it's three portions of fruit and vegetables per person, two servings per recipe, and only using one pan. So creating curries, stews, casseroles, tray bakes, everything that you can do really easily and cheaply that looks after your health effortlessly.
Brilliant. And on my clock here, I've still got another minute left, I think, before we get cut off. Organic. What's your view on organic?
So I did a podcast episode on this, actually, with a colleague of mine who's a particle physics major, and she's now a farmer. I think the primary goal for people is to get more plants on plates. And the secondary goal, I think, would be to reduce pesticide use for a number of different reasons. A, environmentally, we know that increased pesticide use has a detrimental impact on the biome of the soil. So that's the quality of the microbes in the soil can be detrimental to that. And B, we have unknown impacts on human health over a long period of time. And so taking a pragmatic approach, I think we should be aiming for an organic landscape, but that needs to be sort of measured up against the impact on yield and the impact on the amount that we can grow. We actually waste a lot of food. We already produce well enough to feed the entire world, but it's a logistical issue and it's a waste issue. So those are the primary concerns for me. I choose organic where possible, but I don't get too caught up about it, because our bodies are incredible detoxifying machines that allow, you know, people who smoke 10 a day or 20 a day for decades before they succumb to something like cancers or even chronic obstructive pulmonary disease. So we are very robust machines, and I try and choose organic where possible, but I'm not too hung up on it.
Okay. I think that's probably the way I go as well. So yeah, brilliant. Well, thank you so much for your time, Dr. Weepy. I really appreciate it. You've had some fantastic answers there. I'm sure it certainly has helped me. I thought like it's a bit of a personal consultation. Please don't send your bill. Hopefully many of the listeners will really have benefited as well from it. So thank you so much.
Many thanks. Appreciate that.
That was Dr. Rupi Ojula, and he otherwise known as the BBC Good Food Chef. Hope you enjoyed that. Hope you learned some stuff from it. We're going to go into a song now before I get all vulnerable, and we're going to play the song called Vulnerable by Roxette. Do enjoy, and after that, we'll get straight into the nitty-gritty of New Year's resolutions and how they can sometimes go wrong and how sometimes they can go wrong for the better. Hope you enjoy the song.
I see her smile, her absent-minded eyes, and she has kept me wondering for so long how this thing could go wrong. It seems to me that we are both the same, playing the same game. But as darkness falls, this true love falls apart into a riddle of her heart. She's so vulnerable, like China in my hands. She's so vulnerable, and I don't understand. I could never hurt the one I love. She's all I got, but she's so vulnerable. Oh, so vulnerable. Days like these, no one should be alone. No heart should hide away. Her touch is gently conquering my mind. There's nothing words can say. She's colored all the secrets of my soul. I've whispered all my dreams. But just as nighttime falls, this vision falls apart into a riddle of the heart. Yeah, she's so vulnerable, like China in my hands. She's so vulnerable. I could never hurt someone I love. She's all I got, but she's so vulnerable. Oh, so vulnerable. Thank you.
That was a Roxette and a Vulnerable. You're listening to The Diabetes Show here on UK Health Radio. My name is Peter Alton. I'm your host today. And maybe I shouldn't actually own up to who I am, because as I have been sharing throughout the show, it's time for me to confess up on how things have been going with my... Well, it wasn't really necessarily a New Year's resolution. Maybe that's where I went wrong. But to do with the diet that I've been doing, and I've been sharing on the show the one-to-one diet that I've been doing, and it's certainly no fault of theirs. But certainly over the Christmas period, put on a little bit of the weight that I had lost beforehand, and I have, to be honest, been feeling a little bit down. It's been a bit of a challenging time, what with some family members who have all now recovered, thankfully, but having COVID at one point, some business issues, just various things that have really just been dragging me down a little bit. And you know, you can have a bit of a pity party sometimes, and you can some people, myself included, can maybe have some of the wrong food and drink when that sort of thing happens. And you put on a brave face. But yeah, the diet's not been going as well as it should be. I've been struggling. I've been trying, but at the same time, it's not been happening. And it made me think a little bit about, well, how many other people at this stage of January are going through the same sort of emotions, the same sort of struggles, maybe with resolutions, maybe with other things that have been going on. And for me, it's really important that I do sort this out, because I've been wearing a continuous glucose monitor and looking at my blood sugars, and I've been aware of them just gradually creeping back up again. This particular monitor that I use gives you an estimated HbA1c. And just a few days of having some higher levels bumps up that estimated HbA1c. I don't know how accurate that is, but I do know that, hey, I was having some higher blood sugars during the Christmas period, and that I haven't been as strict as I should have been since. If my diet consultant Emma is listening, I'll be getting told off when we have our weigh-in on Wednesday. But what are some of the positives that can come from failing? It made me think, you know, because I bet there are a lot of you out there who are really feeling a bit down, a bit despondent. You've failed at, maybe classic thing would be a diet, or maybe it's starting the couch to 5k, and maybe you've had a, you know, 5 or 6 days off. Maybe you are getting a bit despondent about things. And I want to encourage you. I want to encourage you that actually, you know what? Failing, quitting, it's not ideal, but it's not the end of the world. And in actual fact, it might be a power for good. It might be something positive. Okay, you may have entered into your goal, your New Year's resolution by yourself without really getting much support or help. Maybe you've not looked for anyone. And my first point, really, of how you can get something positive from this is that actually, you know, this failure, which in effect it is, can motivate you to try and get a team on board of people to encourage you and support you and hold you accountable. So that actually, as you get back on track, you're more likely to stay on the track and not come off it. There are, you probably know, I'm interested in model railways and trains. And when you have a turnout, a point where the train changes direction, there are things called guide rails as well, which help make sure the wheels do not come off, because obviously if they did, drastic problems. You want to make sure that you've got some people in your life, some guide rails in your life that are going to help support you, some systems in place to help support you, to help keep you on the right track. So I think that's something which you can learn. Some of my other lessons, they come from a guy who is in the business world, just amazing. And you probably use some of his products every single day with watching television, films, etc., light bulbs. It is, of course, Thomas Edison. And he has got some classic quotes, which are, yes, they are a bit overused, maybe a bit cliched sometimes. But actually, when you really stop and think about what they say, it really is just quite an eye-opener that he would come up with these things. And the first one is, that I'm going to quote, is probably his most famous one, is that, you know, when asked, you know, how come you haven't managed to get any good results? And he answered, well, you know, I have got results. I know thousands of things that don't work. And another way that he put it as well is that I've not failed. I've just found 10,000 ways that don't work. In other words, he's ruled out 10,000 things that don't work. So if you are trying to get through this time where you've, you know, messed up with your New Year's resolution, you know that whatever caused you to mess up doesn't work. So you know not to do that again. You know to try not to set yourself up for that trap. You can call it a tiger trap if you like. It's a trap where you know that, hey, if there is chocolate in the house, you are going to succumb to it, as have I recently. Maybe it's alcohol. Maybe it's just not getting out and going for a walk because the weather is a bit miserable. You haven't got something warm enough or waterproof enough. Get something that's warm enough or waterproof enough. Then you won't fall into that trap. So there are things that you can do to have a positive outlook on the failures that you've had that have caused you to be in the state you are at the moment. And then another quote by Thomas Edison is that he shared. He says, "Our greatest weakness lies in giving up. The most certain way to succeed." Now, how many of you want to be certain of success? Okay, you're in this position. You feel like giving up. Maybe you have given up. The greatest weakness lies in giving up, he says. The most certain way to success is always to try one more time. So make that a decision in your goal now, in your New Year's resolution now. Try another time. And not just one more time. Every time you fail, you try one more time. And you put into practice some of those things that I shared early. Getting the buddy, for example. Avoiding the traps. So that you're more and more likely to succeed every time. I hope that has been helpful to you. I'm certainly putting some things in place to try and help me to get back on track with the diet, and also to just to get these blood sugars sorted out. So I'm going to put another continuous glucose monitor in. I haven't had one in for a few days now because it failed on me. And going to be monitoring it, testing and measuring. I suggest you do that yourself if you have diabetes as well. Other things I'm going to do, well, one of the traps for me is having some change in my pocket. And at lunchtime, maybe I go in with good intention to get some milk for my coffee or drink of water. And then I see something which is pretty innocent looking, but not going to help in my diet. Some nuts, maybe, for example. Chocolate, whatever. I haven't actually bought chocolate over the Christmas period, so it's not that that isn't the big weakness, but there was some in the house that I did help myself to. Anyway, that's enough of my confessions for today. I hope that this has been useful to you. I hope that you can make up some ground on maybe the failures that you have done. If you've been successful so far, then great stuff. Keep it up. But remember, actually, you know what? You can always bolster your case. You can always strengthen yourself by having somebody maybe on board holding you accountable, somebody who is that sweet spot buddy, helping you to get into that diabetes sweet spot. If you want to reach out to me, then by all means, feel free to. You can contact me at contact@undefeated.org. Contact@undefeated.org. That's undefeated spelled with all E's. And you can also contact us at info@diabetesradio.com. info@diabetesradio.com. I look forward so much to hearing from you. Let me know anything that you want us to talk about on the show, any songs you want us to play, whatever it might be, just let us know. And if you've got a story to tell, all the better. Hope you have a fantastic second half of January. Have a great week ahead. Keep safe, keep well, and keep those blood sugars in good order. Cheerio. And that is it for this week's show. You've been listening to Peter Olsen with The Diabetes Show here on UK Health Radio, your global, real, feel-good radio station. All that remains is for me to say have a fantastic week. Stay safe in the diabetes sweet spot, living the ideal diabetic lifestyle. I look forward to sharing more with you next week. Take good care and God bless.